In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. And I'm looking at the book of Haggai. Poor Haggai. His mother is still in purgatory for giving him that name, but that's another story. The scripture says in the first chapter, "This people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came to Haggai, the prophet. Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider how you have fared. You have sown much and have harvested little. You eat but never have enough. You drink but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put them into a bag with holes. For thus says the Lord of hosts, consider how you have fared. Go up to the hills, bring wood, build the house, that I may take pleasure in it, and that I may appear in my glory, says the Lord. You have looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Says the Lord of hosts, because of my house that lies in ruins. While you busy yourselves, each with his own house, therefore the heavens above, you have withheld the dew, and the earth has withheld its produce, and I have called for a drought upon the land and the hills, upon the grain and the new wine and the oil, upon the ground which brings forth, upon men and cattle, and upon all their labors. Jesus said it another way, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things shall be added unto thee. Put God first, and we will see that the Lord will supply the increase. Tithe your money, and you will see that as you plant seeds, they would yield a harvest. Tithe your time, and as you see, as you plant seeds, they will yield a harvest. You see, but you know what we do? We put ourselves first. We put ourselves first. We do not place the Lord first, and as a result, we suffer. It is not God who suffers, but we suffer when we put ourselves first. And this is the lesson of Haggai. It's time to rebuild. It is not time to look up at the forest. It's time to do something. Now, I'm going to tell you that the state of the church in the Northeast, I cannot talk about the rest of the country, the state of the church in the Northeast is like the ruins of the Temple of Jerusalem, the ruins, and the Lord says it's time to start all over again. It's time to rebuild. It's not time to be playing around with business. It's not time to be playing around with the rules. It's time to put God first. It's time to seek first the kingdom of God. It's time for Pentecost to become alive again in the hearts of men and women. It's time for the glory of God to come. It's time to worship. For the Lord says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Specifically, that is such an important scripture. My house shall be called a house of prayer. The next line says, but you have made it into a den of thieves. You see, the house of God is a place where people meet God in the power of the Holy Spirit, where Jesus connects us to the Heavenly Father in the power of the Holy Spirit. That means the house of God is called to be a house of prayer, and I would also say a hospital. Yes, a hospital. Because you see, when you are praying, then the people will come and they will be ministered to, and it will be like a hospital. A hospital where God restores his people to the place that he wants them to be. But the issue is my house a house of prayer? Is my house a house of prayer? What have we made the house of God into? Into a business corporation? Is that what the house of God is? John Paul II told the bishops when they came for their ad limina visit, which happens, I believe, once every several years, maybe 5 years, you are shepherds and not CEOs. But you know what? The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Don't call me a shepherd if I don't lay down my life for the sheep. Don't you dare call me a shepherd if I'm not a shepherd after the heart of Jesus. Don't you dare call me a shepherd if I do not care for people. Don't you dare call me a shepherd if I think about the structure and not about the poor, broken people that are like sheep without a shepherd. Don't you dare label me a shepherd if, in fact, that is not what I am. The Holy Father knew about the American bishops. He said, you are not CEOs. You are not running a corporation. You are a pastor. Don't you dare call me a pastor unless I'm willing to lay down my life for the sheep. Don't you dare unless I'm willing to inconvenience myself. Don't you dare. Because you see, you give me that title and I don't live up to that title, at least try to live up to that title, I'll end up in a place of perdition. Oh, you know what Ezekiel says in the 34th chapter. Woe to the shepherds of Israel. Woe to the shepherds of Israel. Why? Why? Because they feed themselves and forget the sheep. Woe to the shepherds of Israel. And you know what? That word still holds true. And this is what it says. You eat the fat, you clothe yourself with the wool, you slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the crippled you have not bound up. See, it's a hospital. The strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you ruled over them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains. And on every hill, my sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, and none to search or to seek them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, because my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts. Since there is no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but my shepherds have fed themselves and not fed my sheep. Therefore, you shepherds, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand, and I will put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. I myself will search for my sheep. I myself will seek them out as the shepherd seeks out his flock when some of his sheep have been scattered abroad. So I seek out my sheep and I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered. My friends, it is not a privilege to be called a shepherd. It is a responsibility. You need to pray for the bishops of the diocese that you live in, because God will judge them more harshly and more. He will judge them. And if they are not shepherds of the flock, my friends, you can call yourself a bishop and I can call myself a priest. But just remember what John Chrysostom said, doctor of the church, that the road to hell is paved with the skulls of priests that have cared for themselves and not the sheep. That's a scary thing. That's why you need to pray for your shepherds. That's why you need to pray so that we would be shepherds, so that we would lay down our life for the sheep. Because you see, there is only one shepherd, and his name is Jesus. And he tells us the vocation of the shepherd ever so clearly in the 10th chapter. He says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I am not the hired hand. No, the hired hand whose sheep do not belong to him sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hireling and he cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and my own sheep know me. As the Father knows me, I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. There it is. I lay down my life for the sheep. There it is. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The good shepherd does not care for himself. The good shepherd cares about his sheep. I'm talking now about sheep with two legs. I'm talking now with sheep that have a brain. I'm talking now with sheep that are in need. I'm talking now about sheep that are people. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The good shepherd cares for the sheep. The good shepherd goes the extra mile. The good shepherd protects the sheep. The good shepherd feeds the sheep with the word of God. The good shepherd prays for the sheep. The good shepherd is a shepherd after the heart of Jesus. You see, the Pope wrote this document, Shepherds After the Heart of Jesus. Shepherds After the Heart of Jesus. And it's a beautiful document. And we are called to be shepherds, not CEOs. Not businessmen, not doing business. I do not do business. When I deal with people, I deal with immortal souls. I deal with people that have an immortal destiny. That means they will either go to heaven ultimately or to hell. I must know that the people that I deal with, they have been bought with the price of the blood of Jesus. They have been bought with the price of the precious blood of the Lamb. They are not worth any diminishable sum of silver or gold. You are not worth any diminishable sum of silver or gold. But you are worth the precious blood of the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. And you know, I'm not going to tell you that I'm a good shepherd. I'm not going to say that because, you know what, I fail so often. But that's what I want to be. I want to be a good shepherd. I want to care for the sheep. I want to love the sheep. I want to pray for the sheep. I want to get the strays and bring them back. I don't want to think about myself. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's about Jesus, and it's about the sheep. You see, I was ordained to preach the word of God and to celebrate the Eucharist. I was ordained not that I would build a kingdom for myself, but that the good shepherd would save the sheep. That's why I say that the scripture went, the word of God went from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to all the ends of the earth. That's why I have the privilege to be able to be on the radio to speak to people that only God knows that are listening today, that you are one of the sheep of the pasture that Jesus has ransomed with his blood. You are one of the people that Christ died for. You are loved by the eternal shepherd. The eternal shepherd laid down his life for you. I have the privilege of telling you things like that. I have the privilege of not knowing who you are because I can't see you, but you can hear me. I have the privilege of saying, you are not worth any diminishable price of silver or gold. You have been bought with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a blood-bought child of God. Do you hear me? And I must treat you as a blood-bought child of God. I received a letter just a couple of weeks ago. This lady said she used to come to my Bible study in in Peabody. And she said, you didn't detest me, but I could tell by your body language that you didn't like me. And I'm saying, my Lord and my God, I have no idea who this lady is. I never meant that. I never meant that. That was not what I ever meant. Again, I have no idea who she is. I have no idea who she is. No idea who this lady is. But, you know, when I read that letter, it just makes me sad that a woman would think that I tried to shun her, I tried to hurt her, I tried to do something, you know, that hurt my heart, that I would do a thing like that. Now, again, I do not remember. I do not remember. And if that lady is listening, you have to really know this. If I did that to you, I was wrong. I'm sorry. The last thing I would ever want to do would to do that to one of God's people. If I did that to you, I am sorry. That would be the last thing I would want to do. Now, I'm not saying it's beyond me. Nothing is beyond me. I'm a sinner. But that would be the last thing that I would want to do to you. It would be the last thing. You've been bought with a price. You've been bought with the price of the precious blood of Jesus. Not with any price of silver or gold. You've been bought with the price of Christ. Christ's precious blood shed for you. The last thing I would want to do would be to neglect you. Now, there are some people, you know, that I can't minister to because the Lord has not placed them in my basket. And, you know, that's just, I'm not God. I can't minister to everybody. I can't minister to everybody. But I can be loving, I can be kind, and I can say, you know what, I care about you, but I can't minister to you. I can't minister to you. I would want to. I can't minister to you. I have this person that calls me, you know, and I care about her, but you know what, I cannot minister to her. I just cannot minister to this woman. She says she's dying of cancer, and you know, I can pray for her. I can pray for her. I can pray, but I cannot save her. You know, she wants me to save her. I cannot save her. I do not have that ability to save her. I do not have that ability. I am not a savior. I'm a priest. I'm a shepherd, but I cannot save her. I can care for her, but I cannot save her. You know? But I'm always, always brought back to the reality that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That he had the power and has the power to lay it down and the power to take it up. That's the resurrection. And that this has been given to him by the Heavenly Father. You've got to pray for your shepherds. You've got to pray for me. You've got to pray. First of all, that we pray. Second of all, that we pray. Third of all, that we pray. Fourth of all, that we care for the sheep. That we care for those that the Lord puts in our path. There's no substitute for a shepherd. St. Paul said that when he was leaving a certain area, that he had taught them the word of God, but now wolves would come in to trap the sheep. That wolves would come. He says he knew, because now he had laid the foundation. He had proclaimed Christ. They had received baptism. They received the Holy Spirit. Great things were happening. He said, but now that I leave, I tell you, wolves will come to scatter the sheep. That's exactly what happens. Because the wolf tries to destroy everything the shepherd has done. The shepherd must never be a wolf in sheep's clothing. The shepherd must never be a wolf in sheep's clothing. The shepherd must never be a wolf in sheep's clothing. The shepherd must lay down his life for the sheep. The shepherd must care for the sheep. The shepherd must lead the sheep. The shepherd must warn the sheep. The shepherd must minister to the sheep. But, you know, we're all shepherds, not only the priests. We're all shepherds. If you have a family, you are the shepherd or the shepherdess of your family. You must care for your family. Don't be like so many people today. They give their family everything but themselves. Don't be like so many people of today that work three jobs and their children never see them. The first thing you must give your children is yourself. The first thing you must give your spouse is yourself. All the things in the world will never replace the shepherd or the shepherdess. And we, in this world, think that things can make up for the presence of a loving parent, a loving father, a loving mother, a shepherdess, a shepherd. That's why it's also very important that the priest, who is the shepherd, pray with his people. Not only at Mass, where he is the president of the congregation, but at other times, the people must see that the priest struggles in prayer, that tries to pray, tries to be with the people. So important. It's so important. Because you see that the shepherd is also a sheep. And this is another thing that I think about the shepherd. Real shepherds smell like the sheep. Real shepherds smell like the sheep. When they are in the midst of the sheep, they are no better than the sheep. When they are not in the midst of the sheep, they are no better than the sheep. Real shepherds smell like the sheep. Sheep do not smell very, very well or good. Real shepherds care for the smelly sheep. Real shepherds will pull the sheep out of the ditch. The ditch of sin. Real shepherds will go after the sheep. Bishop Sheen once told a beautiful story, and I want to end by telling that story. He would go into the hospital, you know, quite often, and walked into this room. It was an Irish name, and the bishop went there, and the man was there with him, and the bishop was talking about the Yankees, and the man was happy, and the second the bishop mentioned the Lord, the man says, "If you mention God one more time, I will throw you out of here." And so the bishop did, and he got thrown out of the room. And so the bishop went back the next day, and again the next day the man says, "We can talk about anything, but I do not want to talk about God." And so they talked about other things, and then the bishop began to mention the Lord again, and he threw him out again. This happened 3 or 4 days. Finally, on the fourth day, he saw that the man was really getting worse. And the bishop started to talk about God, and the man tried to throw him out. He says, just listen to me for a second. The only thing you need to say is, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. So anyway, the guy threw him out. The next day, the bishop went to see the man, and the man had died. And the nurse had told the bishop, yeah, he died peacefully. And says, well, how did he die? He says, well, his last words were, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Well, the good shepherd went after the sheep. The good shepherd went after that sheep. Even though the sheep wanted to throw him out, the good shepherd persevered. Bishop Sheen persevered. Listen, Persevere with your prayers for people who are lost. Persevere praying for your shepherds. Persevere praying for me. Persevere. Don't give up on people. The good shepherd doesn't give up on people. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Don't ever give up. Don't give up. Keep on praying. Keep on reaching out. Keep on keeping on. That's the way the good shepherd is. He's always the good shepherd who gives us another chance. He's always the good shepherd who never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's always the good shepherd who will always go the extra mile. Even on the cross, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Even on the cross, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That's the good shepherd. He laid down his life for the sheep. You are the sheep, and he loves you. I want to tell you, on August 1st, we will be at the Espousal Retreat House. August 1st, that's next Wednesday, we will be at the Espousal Retreat House. And I also want to tell you that the Mass schedule at the Holy Rosary is on Saturday evening at 5:30, Sunday morning at 9 and 11. Saturday evening at 5:30 in the evening, followed by a healing service, Holy Rosary in Winthrop, and then on Sunday 9 and 11, and you're welcome to come. Every Friday, we have Mass at 7:30, followed by Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament all night long. You are welcome to come. Holy Rosary in Winthrop is 1015 Shirley Street in Winthrop. I'll repeat that. Every Saturday night, there is a 5:30 Mass at Holy Rosary in Winthrop, followed by a healing service. And then Sunday, 9 and 11, and every Friday evening, a 7:30 Mass, followed by Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament all night. And Holy Rosary is at 1015 Shirley Street in Winthrop. Your assignment tonight is to read the 10th chapter of St. John, the 10th chapter of St. John. And you know what? I need to hear from you so that we can pay our bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Jesus, Good Shepherd, have mercy on us. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.